Scorpio, and welcome to Inner Space, your 2023 annual reading from Planet Waves. I'm Eric, here with some further thoughts about your astrology in a more informal and slightly less structured, but indeed structured by the astrology format. But first, an acknowledgement of the incredible challenges that we face spiritually and psychologically and socially. Being alive at this time and the unpredictability and this sensation that the world is not really having problems so much as it's being pushed over and over again closer to some edge that no one knows where it is. And of course, life always survives. Civilization goes on in some form. But the pattern of our lives is the thing in question. And it is absorbing that kind of, this shock of constant, needless, inflicted change that I think is the real stress point. But then there is the reality that a lot of people are just stuck without what they need, and it was pretty hard to get by. You needed a lot of strength and faith and luck and all these things to get by in previous times, and now you need a lot more of these things, and there would seem to be a bit less to go around. And in particular, something that you depend on, which is the stability of the social space, the predictability of social existence, is the thing that has, I think, come under the very hardest times, the greatest challenge. And this shows up as an important feature in your solar chart or your natal if you have Scorpio rising. Going back to March of 2020, and then going forward from March of 23, they're distinct eras, but they have some things in common, one of them being Aquarius. Let's start with a moment of theory, astrological theory. The temperature and, let's say, animation of a chart increases when there are planets that are active in the angular houses. The angular houses means, for you, all of the fixed signs. And so the sign Scorpio extends into Taurus, and Taurus and Scorpio work as one kind of orbiting system. And then that extends into Leo and Aquarius. And some theories of astrology recognize this better than others. And it's not really commonly thought of as a valid, or I'm not sure if the word is valid, but it's not high on the list of things that are checked. What's going on your cross, meaning in your case the fixed cross. But I have found that this pretty much tells us most of what we need to know. And I began with the idea of the stability of social space. And this is something that is come up in almost every different angle of your chart. No matter how you look at it, there's something about shifts to the social space. This began in 2018 when Uranus entered Taurus. And Uranus is a planet that's associated with rapid, unpredictable shifts and transitions. And it entered Taurus, a sign that is associated with stability and enduring values, even more so than Capricorn. Capricorn largely describes the shell, the structure, rather than the content. Taurus more describes the content, the ideas themselves. And you have Taurus as your relationship house, as your kind of binary pair with Scorpio. And they're very similar signs, but they have a different feeling tone, as if they're expressions of the same thing, which they are, moving in different directions, but still connected. And to have Taurus as your opposite sign or seventh house or seventh place from the ascendant, however you want to look at it, it's all really the same thing, means that one of the ways that you navigate through life is the stability of your relationships. And there's almost no extent that you'll go through, you know, limit to the extent you'll go through to protect this. And that can work in certain ways and not in others, because one of the ways it doesn't work is that it can lead to a lot of overlooking that which is not welcome in the scenario for the sake of maintaining continuity. And so in 2018, Uranus comes along and it starts to vibrate your relationship angle. This has been going on now. We're going into, was on and off through 18, but the first contact is the one that starts everything. Then 19, 20, 21, 22, and 23. We're going into the sixth year of this. I mean, it really seems like it started yesterday. This time is going so fast. But this has been how long you have been kind of feeling the vibration shifting in what may have been previously extraordinarily stable relationships, and more than that, a stable concept of relationships. And the thing about the opposite sign is that it often seems like the influence is coming from outside of you. And it isn't always. It may never be, because there's always some reflection going on in the seventh house, or some projection going on. And so to the extent that the transitions have looked like they were the result of partners' changes in attitudes and values, definitely requires a closer look. And that closer look is what has been happening to you since August, when Mars entered Gemini. And it remains there. It's about 4 months, let's say September, October, November, December. So 4 months. And then this will last another 3 months. And Mars is crucial because it is your ruling planet. The second way you know what's going on, that the temperature of the chart is heating up, is when the sign's classical ruling planet is in play, doing interesting things. I recognize that many people think that Pluto rules Scorpio. despite the fact that I'm very well versed in several different species of modern astrology, I always start with the classical planets. Pluto certainly comes into play in March, and it has been in a way. So we'll cover that, but I always go in order: classical planet, modern planet, and get a full understanding of the classical planet. And I think that Mars provides a lot of information. So first, you've got Uranus doing like recreating the energy field of Taurus, and in a sense, maybe in several senses, destabilizing what were very stable relationships. And yet, they can still endure. I think that right now there is a high value on people preserving relationships rather than saying, okay, this isn't quite working, let's move on. But on the other side of the spectrum, there's all this brexting is the word that I learned the other day, breaking up by text. And so this is a typical kind of extreme polarity. And I think that the brexting thing and the, it's all just a hookup is an example of the extreme kinds of polarities we live with today. You know, it's kind of like relationships that are based on Tinder and Grindr and brexting versus permanent, eternal romantic love. Mormon underwear included. We'll be married for all eternity, no matter what planet we are on. So I think that you're more the second type, more the, hold it together type. And as I mentioned, and I learned this from the article Jealousy in the Abyss, that the higher of a value is placed on the stability of the relationship, the less likely the problems are to be acknowledged and addressed. And things like mixed feelings about something, or senses in which the relationship needs adjustment, but it would like be one thing leads to another. And so the stability can lead to a kind of mendacity, not talking about things, for example, a lot of withholds and so forth. And since I don't have you here, there's only so far into this I can go, and I'm describing what looks to me like a sensitive scenario involving one or more deep partnerships. And these, by the way, can include some things in business partnerships, but let's keep this on the personal level for the most part and realize it can apply to a business partnership. So the scenario since August is that Mars came around, went through your seventh in June and July, in part of August, and goes into Gemini, and then goes way out into late Gemini, where it does something that is unusual. It not only stationed retrograde, but it did so in the midst of a series of 90-degree aspects to Neptune. And Neptune is the agent of, I'm going to see things my way, and that's the truth. The thing that we have in consciousness right now that I think is one of the most pernicious is this absolute conviction that many people have that if they believe it, it is true. And then sometimes if you press them, they'll say, well, there is no truth, or there is no way to know the truth, which then leads to, therefore, whatever I believe is true. Now, this is just a bunch of philosophical bullshit, right? Truth is not like some absolute cosmic objective standard. Truth is just like, well, how much was the electric bill? if you want to scrutinize it and go down to the basement and read the meter, all right, that's a further level of inquiry. But what's the paper say? That's what I'm talking about. What's the basic truth? Now, with feelings which are involved, it is complicated. But I still believe that there is a bottom line, even if the bottom line involves a mixed scenario. So, Mars stations retrograde in Gemini, your eighth house. Your eighth house, eighth place from the ascendant or the sun, same thing for our purposes here, for this tarot card reading of astrology, is, I'm not literally using cards, but that's what it's like. We're doing divination. The eighth is about the transactional level of relationships. So while the seventh is about partners, partnerships, and open enemies, which I think is funny, but it's true, more important than horary astrology, the eighth is about the signing on the dotted line, the marriage contract, the will, the trust, the estate, the influence of the in-laws, the taking possession of the person. Marriage is a kind of property contract. People don't like to acknowledge this. I think it's romantic and, you know, everything's finally settled and all this stuff. But ultimately, legally, it's a property contract. And some places are explicit about this. And usually, it's something like, the concept is something like, despite modernity and hipsters with beards, the man and woman shall be as one, and the one shall be the man, in the words of my friend C.T. Butler. So this is what goes on in the eighth. All kinds of things like civil death and, Miss Norma Ashbury becomes Mrs. John Doe. Still happens. So all of these contracts are contained in the eighth. And they also contain the eighth also contains the sexual agreement, implied or explicit. Some people say, we're swingers. We will go to a swinger party every Saturday night and have sex with everyone we want, and then we'll come home and we'll be a couple again. Some are implied. We're married, but we have affairs that we don't talk about. Other explicit ones are, well, monogamy is often implicit. People don't actually shake hands most of the time on whether they're going to be monogamous. It just is assumed, which I think is a dangerous assumption. But what the assumption does is it saves the conversation, the challenges, and the embarrassment of the conversation, at the same time putting down a false floor on the intimacy that is possible in the relationship, because there is this built-in level very often of what we will not talk about. And even if the couple assumes monogamy and is monogamous, there's still a whole, like, kind of hidden dimension underneath the floor where all of the feelings people have toward one another, toward themselves and toward others, and their evolving nature, often completely left out. So when Mars jumped into Gemini, and then in the autumn, stationed retrograde, I think it was October, stationed retrograde, and in the process here, started making these 90-degree angles to Neptune. This put a lot of pressure on whatever situations I'm describing, because the Mars squares out of Gemini to Neptune in Pisces are going to either force the conversation, they will compel self-destructive conduct, or things are going to come to light. And the first place things come to light is within you. It's what you figure out about yourself. And I will tell you from nearly 30 years of reading for people, which has involved a lot of interviews because I take a therapy-based approach, one of the ways that many people perpetuate their situation is by not admitting to themselves what is true for them. And just kind of pretend it's not going on. And so none of this can withstand the configuration of Mars square Neptune, particularly involving two of the houses associated with sexuality. The eighth, which is all the contractual stuff. And the eighth is this odd fusion of sex experienced with obligation, and then when it's read more deeply, the thing you want the most. Now, you have Gemini there. And where there's Gemini, there's going to be multiple possibilities. While I don't think that astrology can assure any conclusive information about sexual tendencies, it certainly can describe them. And there is something about multiples here with Gemini in the eighth, potentially competing agreements, agreements with multiple roles, and complexities that enter the chart through this area where people come in. One way to think of the eighth is it is this portal into the chart, into your life, where your family is extended by contract, marital contract, wills, trusts, and various other forms of conveyance of property. So it's kind of this very high valence zone where the electrons are just jumping around and forming these new compounds. And along with that can come all of the in-laws and all of their stuff and all of their expectations and all of their requirements and all of their, this is the way we do things around here, which is not so much an issue in, low to moderate income families, meaning the like non-multi-million-dollar class, but it is still an issue. It's still a thing. These expectations can pervade, and they're often concealed. And one of the ways they're concealed in your chart is with Gemini being the operative energy field, can create an either or both competing or cooperating scenario. So anyway, Mars has been working this territory for months, and it is working the fifth house also, which is a much more openly experimental house where simple, plain, ordinary sexual and effectual desire manifests. It's more creative, it's more playful, and with Neptune, there's going to be a strong, because Neptune's transiting Pisces for quite a long time and is involved in this, a matter of fantasy. What do you imagine? What do you really want? And see, this can be a very important factor, even though we pretend that it's not. And it's complicated why we pretend that it's not, but it's largely because we've externalized our imagination into this device called video. And so it's difficult for people to tell what they really want because their imagination is basically being externalized, put in the hands of producers, and shot back in their face. So having contact with what you want is very important as a Scorpio, with Mars as your ruling planet. Okay, so the upshot here is that this is extending the image of moving, shaking, changing, and instability that began in 2018 with Uranus moving through Taurus, your most basic elemental relationship house. And so I've taken a long time to explain this, but basically I want to make sure you understand that there's a reasoning process here, which there's even more details, but we've got the basics. That you tend to be a person who values stability in relationships. You'll go pretty far to ensure that stability. You'll overlook certain things to ensure that stability, but now all the forces of nature are shaking this up and have been for a long time. Okay. Now, this is a process. There is a shift on the way. There is we are in this largely unforeseen forthcoming massive watershed of society coming up that's going to last, that's going to commence and seem to take everyone by surprise in the spring of 23. And this is all about your chart, because the two of the main factors are planets connected with Scorpio, Mars and Pluto, and then we've got a lot of angular planet stuff going on, angular sign stuff going on. Okay, so let's hold that thought on the relationship thing, and you know the details, and I will tell you that this can certainly all work itself out, preserving certain pre-existing relationship situations. But the question that I'm asking and have been driving in the horoscope column is, how do you really feel and what do you really want, as apart from whatever piece of paper you may have signed or promise you may have made? Where do you stand with yourself today? How do you feel about your partner today? And second, or the concept of partnership in the absence of a partner. And the other thing is, that's driven by your growth, right? Anytime we read astrology for you, we're talking about you, and everybody else is a kind of environmental factor. It's a little narcissistic, but you got to start somewhere. Everyone else is an environmental factor, and where you stand with yourself and whether you're honest about that is the thing that counts the very, very most. Okay, so let's pause there. It's a kind of a convenient pausing moment. And then when I resume, then we can look closely at what's going on in the angular houses on the fixed cross, i.e. what's going on now forthcoming in 23 and beyond, in Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius. Thank you. So, as you no doubt know, Pluto is changing signs in March. It's part of a it's an extended process of changing signs because Pluto is now moving so slowly that it will make three ingresses into Aquarius. Pluto always dips into the new sign, goes retrograde for a bit, goes direct, and then re-enters the new sign to stay for the duration. What's going to happen with the ingress into Aquarius is it's going to do that three times. It'll go in, retrograde out, go in, retrograde out, and then finally go in to stay in late 2024. So there's a transitional period, which is particularly good for you. Pluto is, I would say, potentially a significator for you, though it will, it is moving into a, let's say, very sensitive angle of your chart. And that angle is the fourth place where you seek security. And one of the ways you seek security is in groups, which is a distinction of Aquarius combined with the fourth. This is basically how all astrology is read when you're really reading the astrology rather than running to the book and finding out what it means. One of the first things you combine is what's the house, what's the topic, and then what's the sign, what's the style. So the topic here is security and family, and the style is Aquarius. It's a fixed sign, and it is the only sign associated with groups per se. And the first group is the family. And so this is something about the obsession with family, with Scorpio, and maintaining the stability of the family, because that's just the thing to do. So previous to this, Pluto's moved through your third, which is your house of communication, expression, and ideas, which is itself dominated by a sign associated with family in a different sense, Capricorn, right? Because Aquarius is family because the family is a group, but Capricorn is just family because that's the family structure. So Pluto's come through here for 14, 15 years and gradually worn away or busted through or have you rethink or revolutionize, reconceptualize your own ideas about yourself, clearing away all that jetsam and flotsam, hopefully training for you to be the independent thinker that you now need to be. So Pluto enters the fourth, and this is going to create a kind of a seismic shift to your concept of stability and security. And this is a transit that I think is the whole Pluto and Aquarius thing is just going to blindside everyone. My assessment is that 99% of astrology right now is like Mr. Mackey. Remember Mr. Mackey? Some hippies give him acid, and in his hallucination, his head inflates like a balloon. It breaks off from his body, and it just starts floating around everywhere. That's what's going on in most astrology right now. Not all, but most, meaning like 98%. So we're going to be surprised by this, those not following along here with what this combination could mean, which, by the way, no one's ever lived through. And it's going to shape everything involving groups, everything involving families, everything involving all forms of social patterns, which is the essence of Aquarius. Social patterns, and then all forms of pattern formation, which almost always come back to social patterns and technological patterns. And right now they are 1,000,000% overlaid. Social patterns are now fully controlled and informed by technological patterns. All right, so big change here, and it is going to call attention to the ways in which you need to make important revisions and which you need to take control of your destiny, in the sense of being willing to stand up to groups of all kinds. Standing up to the groups upon which you previously placed so much emphasis as a source of both stability and identity. So there's a real risk involved here, and or certainly a conceptual risk, and the risk is rejection. The reason people don't stand up to their families and most other groups, as we've seen in this vast 3-year experiment in how much torture you can apply to people through the social realm, is now coming home to roost, in the sense that now it's the premium, the right, maybe that's the right word, the urgency of standing up for your values and your truth at all costs is now going to be the thing. And there's a similar process described in Mars retrograde through Neptune, because you've got to cut through all your own unquestioned places and get to the point where you understand yourself and are willing to stand in that integrity, not compromise, to live uncompromisingly in your truth. This is not easy, is not popular. It has everything against it. People's delusions are incredibly, incredibly powerful. And they are easy for us to have imposed upon us, and correspondingly easy to impose on others. This, to me, looks like what's unraveling. Okay, next case. Jupiter is moving through Aries. Just entered Aries on December 19th. It dipped in briefly, went back into Pisces briefly, and now it's back in Aries, where it's going to make a clear run through Aries. So let's cover that on the way to Jupiter entering Taurus, your relationship house. So Aries is the sixth place for you. It is the place about work and well-being. It is a crucial place where you relate to yourself. And it is one of the reasons why I believe that Scorpios are capable of such a deep work ethic, because you have to do work you identify with, or you'll be miserable. And you must find growth in your work, and then when you do, then you're involved. And so there's a little bit about pride in your work, but there's a lot more about your work being about your growth process. So while the sixth is often a relational house, because so many of our important relationships are work relationships, for you, it is one of the supreme places where you relate to yourself. And it is of a crucial note that your work cannot interfere with your wellness. You cannot be made, ideally, made to do something by work, quote-unquote work, meaning employers, or a condition of work that violates your freedom to take care of yourself, your privilege to take care of yourself. I'm astounded that so many people fell for this imposition on our God-given privilege to take care of ourselves. For that you have worked the understanding that it is we who make the decisions and therefore take care of ourselves had to have previously been demolished or rendered null and void by some other means. So you've got Chiron transiting this house, vitally important. Salacia, an outer planet, long orbit, 270, I think, transiting this house, saying you have a primary responsibility to take care of your sexual health, and your sexual health includes doing what is appropriate for you. So without using the word must, I can say this confidently, that should you ever allow someone else to make your health decisions for you, meaning your health and wellness decisions for you, outside of some extremely extenuating circumstance, there are going to be negative consequences. So the idea is to make your health choices yourself, and don't let anybody like the president make them for you. And this also includes all of your choices about what is sexually appropriate for you at this time in your life, based on the particulars of the circumstances in the relationship. So Jupiter sweeps through here, and this will have an enlarging effect. It may be a highly excellent productive time work-wise for you. That's coming in other ways as well. Some of the strongest astrology right now for you is related to the work that you do. However, then Jupiter moves on, and it moves into Taurus. And here's where, finally, after all of this Mars retrograde stuff, you start, right, because this is questioning everything. Mars retrograde, particularly square Neptune, in the 8th, involving the 5th, there's a lot of relationship karma contained in that sentence, is going to blow by. It will eventually end, and you'll be at a certain point where it's like, okay, here's what I've learned. And the remaining question is, what shall you do with what you've learned about yourself, about your circumstances, about your relationships, and about the truth of other people? What are you going to do with that information? Act on it, not act on it, continue the conversation. What's the deal? Okay, so in May, after, you know, a lot of instability and reassessment, Jupiter arrives as a stabilizing factor and stays for a year in your seventh house. So it is almost like starting in the mid-spring northern hemisphere of 23, a very opposite kind of situation than the one that you've been in, allowing you to take some of this emphasis off of all of this contractual and relational and sorting out, this constant sorting out, and leading into a bit more of a settling down. May to May. Now, there's a lot of variables here. There's a lot of possibilities. There are a lot of branches on the tree of what decisions you make and the outcomes of, you know, that you activate by choosing that probable reality versus that probable reality. And the ongoing burden is to be true to yourself. I mean, nothing else. This, your entire chart is just blaring. Be true to yourself. Okay. So, next angle. There is a Venus retrograde that takes place in Leo, your 10th, every 8 years. And it will happen in the middle of 2023, right in the peak of the year. Basically, it lasts from early June through early October. And I'm counting the entire duration of time that Venus is in the in the 10th house. Now, this is a good time for recognition. You've got a lot of energy that you're willing to put into your work. You have almost boundless energy that you're willing to put into work. And I suggest that you emphasize the doing of things for their own sake and letting the recognition follow rather than working for recognition or doing things for recognition and letting the work follow. So the order of operations is do the work because it's the thing to do. And then see what develops. This is the Aries principle operating in your work. And the sixth is the place where you just do the work because it's the thing to do. And the tenth is where you might seek or gain recognition for the work that you do. And of course, we need that. That's inherently part of many different careers. That require a measure of recognition. At least you keep a little tally known as your CV or your LinkedIn page. But the way to go is do the things that help you get lost in your work. That's where you want to be. You want to be where you feel like you're growing, and the sense of growing and of emerging into yourself and aligning with yourself becomes the process by which you are recognized for that. And the relationship stability that starts to develop in May, the kind of settling down phase, is going to also pertain to work-related relationships, which are in your chart under the authority of, both Venus and Mars. Very important. Very passionate, obviously, to be a Scorpio. There's a lot of Venus and Mars. There you go. Not all the signs have that, and you do. Okay, so I personally foresee a time where you really can make some progress on your success. The idea here is the defining your success for yourself, never placing yourself in the way of harm for your work, unless that's what you happen to do. If you are, underwater explosives scuba diving technician, then you're going to have risky work. But I'm just saying, if you work in a sick building, deal with it. There are a lot of sick buildings. You can't work in one. It will just wear you down and make you unhappy and unwell. Okay. Let's wrap up with the water signs. There's not a tremendous amount going on in Scorpio, but what there is a trans-Neptunian point called Apollon, which is all about facilitating commerce, trade, and kind of advancement. It's this point that talks about advancement in science and also in market. Sometimes I feel like I haven't worked with the trans-Neptunian points since like the minute I started doing astrology, but let me see if I can find my cheat sheet. Okay, Apollon in Scorpio for the next 500 years, in case you live that long. Newly arrived. Apollon, the multiplier. Expansion and spreading. Growth and increase. Science, commerce, trade, industry, peaceful efforts. The glyph is a combination of Jupiter and Gemini, and Apollon is a truly super-duper Jupiter. Apollon advances 37 arc minutes per year, so it takes 576 years to go around the sun. Okay, so this is a defining feature in Scorpio was unlikely to have been so when you were born, but it is now. So you got that, and you know that's like that's a resource. So recognize that you are in possession of a kind of a multiplier quality. Now the multiplier quality, if we just change the frame slightly to a spiritual frame, is one where you can multiply anything you want, or anything that happens to be in your energy field to get multiplied, i.e. good karma or bad karma. So therefore, the idea with the multiplier present is to know what you're multiplying, and then also to choose what you want to increase, rather than sort of letting the choice be made for you. Okay, next case, Saturn entering Pisces, the fifth. This is one of my favorite transits of the year because it's an answer to Neptune in Pisces, which has been going on since around 11, and creating this diffuse a kind of creative energy. And Neptune in the fifth can describe a situation where it feels like you're very creative, but it's also not the thing to do to harness that creativity. That's too serious, or too much work, or too much time, too much effort, too distracting from social activities. So people have a lot of excuses for not harnessing their creative energy. So is this frustrating when you have a lot of ideas but don't have the motivation to actually do something with them, to create the studio space, to create the work, to engage in that activity and develop that thing about yourself? Well, along comes Saturn and is finally something. Well, Chiron answered Neptune for a while. We were lucky till 2018 to have Chiron in Pisces from basically 2018, like around 2012 through 2018, we had Chiron in Pisces. So since then, we've kind of been on our own with this amorphous Neptune in Pisces thing. And the challenge is that there's no boundaries around it. The challenge is that it's just sort of like, it's a little like the vaporizer on my desk. It's you know, it's hard to capture those. Once you've turned the water into a gas, it's hard to capture it again. That's what's going on with Neptune. So Saturn comes and starts to apply a boundary principle to it. And what I think is very cool is that Saturn is going to be in Pisces for the duration of Neptune's trip through Pisces. So Saturn is still in Pisces in about 3 years when Neptune starts to move out of Pisces. So you now have help with creating some definitions around your creative process, whatever that might be about. And there's always an exchange. I mean, it's not really possible to be an author and have a job and be a socialite. It's not really possible. I mean, maybe it is, but you know, it's a lot. It's there's a lot of diffusion of energy. If you're completely committed to having fun the minute you're outside of work, that doesn't leave a lot of room for artistic endeavors. People have family commitments that occupy their bandwidth and time and resources. So Saturn is offering you the opportunity to structure the use of your creative energy and to, I would say, define one space and define one project. One space can be one table. One project can be painting. One space can be clear out part of the garage or part of the attic or a room, and the activity can be music. That's a good one for you. Okay, So this lasts a couple of years, and that roadshow lands in the sixth house in a whole new era of astrology in 26-27. We're not anywhere near there yet. The last water sign, there's three of them, involved here is Mars entering Cancer in March. So I spent the whole first hour and much of the written and much of what I've said to you, Scorpio birthday reading and Scorpio horoscopes, parsing out Mars retrograde in Gemini, square Neptune. When that process is done, Mars moves to a more, let's say, space liberated of the burdens and concerns and priorities and contractual affairs and attachments of relationships, and moves into the spiritual angle of your chart, which is also the travel angle of your chart, your ninth place, which is the sign Cancer. And so your spirituality, your spiritual path, is largely either lived or sought after in the style of this somewhat homespun, maternal, caring, cyclical sign Cancer. Now, one of the most important things you can do when you've got big transits in the sign Cancer, which you will soon have, basically, it's going to take hold in the last week of March and last for quite a while, you know, not 7 months, but about 2 months, is to really sort out your mother's influence on the way that you express yourself spiritually, on your vision for yourself and your expectations for life, your learning process, and your worldview. The ninth is a very important house of worldview. It is where you view the world. When you get on an airplane and go to Istanbul to walk around the world and see if you can find a little Constantinople there, that's a ninth house activity. And there's something with Scorpio, I think, that's great fun about being home. This has to go in the book. Anywhere. Kind of like a spiritual turtle carrying your shell. You have the ability to essentially, like, set up housekeeping in the Motel 6 and pack up and move on in the morning. Not everyone does that. A lot of people just stay in a motel. But you live there for a day or week or whatever it might be, wherever you happen to be, you know, Barbados or the Isle of Man. You're home where you travel. It's a very excellent skill to have, to be able to do this. And it would make it very easy for you to travel for work, because it adds the portable home combines with the meaning facet of the ninth, crucial for you to have that sense of meaning combined with your sense of place. So one travel trick is to, you probably do this without needing some astrologer in Kingston, New York telling you, but to explore the meaning of every place that you are. I find these little travel brochure books to be astonishingly helpful. The ones you get there, not in the bookstore, but the ones that you get on scene in these, you know, which look like touristy souvenir shops. Sometimes they have incredible information in them, and find the oldest house or the, Joe Blow dug a hole here and planted a potato in 1412. Wow, I stood there. How exciting! There's also something about true spirituality having a touch of the fertile void, a touch of chaos to it. There has to be that place where something is neither air nor water. Like, I'm looking at my teacup right now, and it looks like, you know, I can shake the cup and the tea jiggles. That's nice. And I know that there's a less dense substance, air, over it. But when you go right to that place where the air and the water meet, I mean, wouldn't that be a cool place to shrink yourself down and go and to watch the, you know, the see where the molecules of the water and whatever, the tannic acid and the sugar, merge with the nitrogen, oxygen, and carbon dioxide? Is two completely different densities, but there's a place where they meet. That's spirituality. That place where they meet. That place where it is neither air nor water. And it is interesting that you have the eighth as an air sign and the ninth as a water sign. And the eighth is considered usually the least spiritual of all the houses because it's about inheriting money or signing a contract in some format. Ninth is a spiritual house, but there has to be that place where they meet. And you've got some minor cool minor planets there that I'll just put a little asterisk next to in orange. Asbolus and Chaos. And Chaos is not pandemonium. Chaos is the Greek goddess Chaos. The fertile chaos. The fertile void. The place where the molecules are jiggling and it's unclear which substance is which. This is the place, I think, that is first of all the most interesting, and it's where the there's a necessary volatility in spiritual growth. There has to be a place where there is just a mystery and where anything is possible and where you just simply don't understand. And people like to cement that over, you know, and like, you know, stick a bench on it and sit down there and think, oh, what a nice bench. But there must be this unstructured layer of mystery. And it happens that in our time now, that is getting a lot of emphasis by two minor planets and then Mars coming through there in March. And there's a thing here about just commitment to your purpose, commitment to your cycles of expression and inquiry and understanding. Cancer is cyclical, so your spiritual life has a cyclical quality, and that's something to work with, not work against. The tide is rolling in, better to not head out to sea. Wait 6 hours. The tide's going out, your boat's going to go a lot quicker. Okay. That is what I have to say to you on this Christmas Day at 2:26 p.m. Thank you for joining me in this space and for your business and your time and more than anything, your trust. This is so crucial because I know that I've said things you cannot unhear. The Scorpio's astrology is the most sensitive and personal of the entire lot. So represent only whatever 8% of the zodiac, but I understand I've touched on some things here that are sensitive and interpersonal and deep. So if you have any thoughts or questions, a good low like a low volume email address is efc@chironreturn.org. again, thank you and bye for now.